There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always, it means my co-host, Nixia. Say hi, Nixia.
Hi.
Are we in for a long, long podcast full of the spoilers?
We might be, if we covered all of them, which we will not.
But we will cover the good part, because I opened the Mythic spoiler page, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, even if you say that we're gonna cover the good ones. In previous sets, that would be like
a couple
of cards. But this set is on fire.
You know how long are this discussion's gonna last? Approximately as a half of an Atraxa player after this turn's set's turn. That's how long.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not that guy anymore.
Oh my god, because people... I'm not actually afraid for people who've been playing Atraxa for a good while and actually know their lines and all that. No, people who will start playing Atraxa and things like that and dirt the living crap out of their planeswalkers.
Yeah, like what I did.
You weren't even dirtling, you were actually making progressive lines, but you had like 5 planeswalkers at a time, and that's gonna slow things up.
And then you just sometimes can't speed it up.
Yep.
You just gotta go with it.
That's why I'm not a fan of Super Strength strategy. Luckily, there's not a bunch of proliferate in this set. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, well, but before that, Commanders of the Week, Nixia?
Oh, I don't really have anything. All I'm gonna say is that I got myself Academy Ruins for my Mono Blue Tron deck. And I'm absolutely in love with that card. That land is just completely bonkers. I mean, oh my god.
We have seen that last night when you came by to the shop just to show us your Academy Ruins. Oh look, Oblivion Stone every turn, ho ho ho!
Yeah, when you're playing against the midrange, and they keep putting pressure on you, just kill everything until they don't play a pressure one turn, and then you win.
Midrange, you mean no range?
Yeah.
But you had an exciting Commander week, I see.
Yeah, I was recycling Oblivion Stones and Fatcaster Mages.
That's good.
Because you can actually, you know, those become a lot more useful when you can keep playing them over and over.
You think? But yeah, should I continue with the Commander of the Week? Because I actually had a handful.
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, I got like 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 new cards into Alesha.
Wow.
Things, I'll read them, you know, one by one. Devout Witness, Rending Wally, a Braid, Null Brooch, which is your sick tech. Because you used to play that a lot. Vryn Wingmare, Stony Silence, Killswitch, Uba Mask, and Smothering Tide.
Nice. What is Killswitch? What?
So, 3 mana artifact. For 2 and a tap all other artifacts. They don't untap during their controller's untap steps as long Killswitch remains tapped. It doesn't have that clause that, you know, you can choose not to untap it. So you have to dedicate 2 mana if you want to keep tapping everybody's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually super strong, especially first game when I actually managed to play it. Guy started the game with that red artifact land. I was like, oh honey. And then he played Sol Ring on that turn. I was like, okay, I'm liking this.
Oh, kill switches, well, for all those cards like...
Trinisphere?
Like Trinisphere and Winter Orb and Static Orb and things like that?
Honestly, it's mostly when obnoxious people like Mate or Philip play their sick combo decks with a bunch of artifacts, and then I'm like, Jax, let's slow it down a bit.
Yeah, when you don't have a Null Rod ready, next best thing.
Yeah, Death Ray Stone Silence is here, Kill Switch is here. Abrade has shown to be surprisingly useful. But the card actually I like most from this bunch is actually Uba Mask. Because Uba Mask, for you that don't know, for 4 mana it's an artifact that says if a player would draw a card, that player exiles that card face up. And each player may play cards they removed from the game with Uba Mask this turn. Mm-hmm. So if a blue player draws like 15 cards, they're not just going to be sitting on them.
Yeah, they're actually actively losing cards.
Mm-hmm. And since my deck plays like draws like maybe 3 a turn, if I get all my looting effects, I'm less actually touched by that.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. And I played a bunch of Commander games, and they were fun. Mostly, let's stick with they were fun.
Sure. Well, saying that they were fun is kind of, you know, not showing it completely, because somebody's idea of fun is nobody playing anything.
Luckily, most games I played, actually, we were all on the same page, and one game we had it at my apartment. There were 4 Timna decks at the same time.
Of course there are.
And good thing about it was 4 different kinds of Timna decks. So there was actually some diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked actually those high-powered games because they lasted much shorter, because I went to the local bar we play at. Had one casual game that lasted literally an hour and a half. Wanted to kill myself. And then we had an actual, you know, higher powered commander game that lasted like 15 minutes but was so much more fun and interactive.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, we've changed a bit, like we talked a couple episodes ago.
Or like literally last episode.
I have no concept of passage of time. I'm a person who hasn't slept a proper night in like 10 years, so my memory is a bit off the charts. But yeah, that has been my commander of the week. Kalesha has become a bit more disgusting. I got some new toys for Ruriktar. What's that enchantment? Natural Order, right? I got that and I got Fairly Song. Do you know what that does?
No.
So, for 4 mana, it's an enchantment. All non-creature artifacts become creatures with power and toughness equal to their current mana cost. So it kills all the Moxen and stupid things, and they lose all the abilities, well, the creatures. So no tapping them for mana. But the funniest thing, once you remove the enchantment, right? They become normal at the beginning of next turn. Not right away.
Oh.
Yeah, just some silly delay trigger that they put in there for God knows which reason. It's an ancient card.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah. That has basically been my week of commandering. So want to delve into the really, really, really meaty topic?
Sure. The sooner we start, the better.
Yep, since we're old people who are tired. So, speaking of beef, want to read the first spoiler?
Are we going to go through the spoilers, or are we going to comment on the surprising trailer?
Oh, yeah. First? Oh, God. I just want to forget about that. Actually, I'm not going to approach it that negative, because the trailer itself, it's a 4-minute long trailer. It's actually awesome. I love the trailer.
Yeah, I was kind of pleasantly surprised by the quality.
Yep. It looks like an actual trailer for a good thing.
I mean, not a single Magic trailer managed to get 1 million views, and this one was number 5 on trending on YouTube.
Yep, it got like, in the first week of showing, 4 million views, I think.
within 24 hours.
Oh yeah, something stupid like that.
It's now sitting at 7.5, and it's not even a week since it launched.
Oh god. I'll think I'll add the World of Spark trailer into the show notes.
So, yeah, you know, putting Linkin Park in a trailer, it helps.
By the way, about that, I'm watching the trailer, and I hear the piano notes, and I'm like, this sounds like the end. Did they actually sneakily try to, you know, take that copyrighted song? Because those bars sound really like in the end. And then as the trailer goes, I'm like, they actually used in the end, oh my god.
I mean, a trap remix, but
still,
it's in the end.
It's Linkin Park.
Yep.
Anywho, you were saying?
Get all the 12-year-olds in the world.
Honestly, they got me. Because when I was in the early 2000s, I was around 13, 14 years old. I really liked that song. So actually, I get that. And they got me as well with it.
They got pretty much everyone, because who doesn't like Linkin Park?
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I don't usually listen to them, but they have a couple of great songs, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, we were watching the trailer.
We were watching a trailer, and my first reaction during the trailer was... No, not Deck! Deck, no!
Greatest thief in the universe has had his spark stolen.
Wow.
He
could have stolen any power from any planeswalker, and he stole the ability to be useless.
Well, but more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, after that...
And then Liliana was too angry to die.
Elaborate.
So, Liliana, in the end, she... God, no. I did not want to say that.
It didn't even matter?
She just betrays Bolas. Just outright betrays Bolas. And Bolas is like, hell no. And goes to kill her. You know, Thanos style.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's simply disintegrating, she lets out a scream that was actually pretty convincing.
Yep.
It was, like, really well done. And also, Bolas kind of looks like Charizard from the Detective Pikachu trailer.
He looks really dragon-y.
Yeah.
Like, legit like a dragon, not a biped that accidentally has long neck and wings. He beefed up.
But his face looks less sinister than... Mm-hmm.
You would think he was missing was a mustache to twirl, honestly.
Yeah.
With that face. But I get it, they actually have to show, okay guys, this is the big bad evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the trailer, and I was actually really liking the trailer, because partly because Liliana was dying, because guess what? She betrayed everything and everybody she ever was with. And traitors, in my mind, deserve to be punished. So I was like, hell yeah, and then I went to Twitter to see reactions of people on the trailer. And guess what? I saw a stupid hashtag, justice for Liliana. No! Her burning is actual justice. She finally got her comeuppance.
Well, she is doing a sacrifice to save somebody, things. But
and her burning is actually her redeeming herself, in my mind.
Yeah, but then, like, not an actual full-on redemption, because she's still, well, evil.
Yeah. She gets redeemed as much as she can be redeemed. And honestly, that would fix her character in my mind so much.
Because all of Liliana's, like, hardships were all caused by herself.
Yes.
Like, nobody is at fault here. Not the demons, because she willingly signed the contract,
mm-hmm.
and then went on to kill them.
And didn't read the fine print, by the way. Guess what? If I was selling my soul to four demons, and using an Elder Dragon as a fucking middleman, I would read the fine print. Everything she did in her life is her own fault. Her tinkering with dark magics, you know, to try to heal her brother, her fault. Signing the contract, her fault. Betraying everything and everybody, her fault.
An ancient artifact of unknown power slowly devouring her, her fault.
Guess what? So yeah, but if she actually made the sacrifice and died doing it, I would be like, yes, she isn't, you know, a good character, but in the end, pun intended, she actually did the right thing, and that kind of redeems her as a character.
She's not... I like her as a character, because she, you know, she has her flaws and her motivations mm-hmm. and things. Mm-hmm. She's quite, how do you say it, consistent with her character. But I don't like where they're going with her character.
What do you mean?
Well, if she survives and becomes like completely redeemed, that's bad, because you know what if Darth Vader survived his sacrifice? That would be like, So this is like something along those lines. She's evil, but there's still some good in her, some semblance that's worth saving.
I like that part. I like the tension in the character.
Because that the trigger that made her turn against Bolas was seeing that woman with her brother, because mm-hmm. Reminded her of her brother.
Yeah.
So she's paying the price now.
But we're not gonna spoil the whole how the thing is gonna shake up, even though the writer of the story did. But yeah, when I saw that stupid hashtag, I was just like, oh god, people.
Like, there's nothing wrong with Liliana, but there's also nothing wrong with her, you know, just ending her arc here.
Her just, you know, sleeping in the bed she made up herself?
Yep.
For that? Because if you betray everything and everybody, you are supposed to get something in the end, in my mind.
Well, never mind that. The trailer was...
awesome.
Awesome. Not Blizzard level awesome, but still... It was kind of incredible. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame we're not gonna get these trailers that often.
I mean, this is a 4-minute trailer. No, they're not actually gonna shell out that money for each set.
Yeah, but, kind of a shame.
If they made trailers like this, but they lasted a minute, I would be really happy for the future.
Maybe they get even more arena money. Maybe they actually do make these kinds of trailers in future.
Oh god. Everybody, please go to Arena and give them your money.
Yeah, because we're already giving them our paper money.
A lot of people are giving them their actual money to get the gems and all that, so they can make decks on Arena.
Yep.
But let's go to the spoilers now.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the Beef Boy.
Well, Gideon is now Gideon Blackblade. Somebody mispronounced his surname again. So, this Gideon, he's... Oh, finally, you don't have to waste your loyalty ability to make him a 4-4 beat stick. He's a beat stick by default. And he's kind of good. I mean, a 3-mana 4-4 creature?
Read us his abilities first, then we can discuss him.
Oh, okay. So, wow. For people who still didn't pass through the spoilers, he's a 1 and double white 4 loyalty planeswalker Gideon, and as long as it's your turn, he's a 4-4 Chad, and prevent all damage that will be dealt to Gideon Blackblade during your turn. And for +1, up to one other target creature you control gains your choice of Vigilance, Lifelink, or Indestructible until end of turn. And for -6, you exile target non-land permanent. So he slots really nicely into our Gideon tribal for modern we're making. You know, the one that tries to lose the game, but you can't because of Gideon emblems.
Yep.
And he also curves really nicely into Sorin, who we'll talk a bit later.
And he's a nice aggressive planeswalker.
And aggressively costed.
Yeah.
A three mana walker that's like a 4/4 guy. This is going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his plus one isn't that good. He kind of protects himself by giving vigilance to a creature.
Yeah, and you know, they can just burn him out on your turn. That's also nice.
Mm-hmm. But his minus six is relatively powerful.
It's
a one-shot ability, but still.
Mostly what you have him here for is, so he's a 4/4 guy. By the way, that's going to be a recurring theme for these planeswalkers. Their passive ability, because they all have passive abilities, is actually what you play them for. Most of the time.
So they're kind of enchantments with an upside?
Yeah.
That are also easier to kill?
Yeah. That even mono red can kill.
Yeah, even mono red.
But yeah, I like this guy just for type of deck he's supposed to go in.
So next up is a blue one.
Yeah, people got kind of crazy over this one, and you'll see why. For Cryptic Command mana, one blue, Jace, Wielder of Mysteries. He has 4 loyalty, and if you would draw a card while your library has no cards in it, you win the game instead, so he's a Laboratory Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Plus one, target player puts the top 2 cards of their library into their graveyard, draw a card, so he fuels his win ability. And minus 8, draw 7 cards. Then if your library has no cards in it, you win the game.
So, when I first saw him, I was like completely confused. Like, his passive ability and his minus 8 just made no sense to me. Like, why are they both here? I mean, they do the same thing. I mean, they don't really do the same thing. You kind of, like, let's say, win a turn earlier. But it really didn't make sense. And then I remembered. Then I realized. Do you know what this Jace means? His minus 8 ability?
Yeah.
It confirms that Doomsday is being reprinted in Modern Horizons. Because really? Doomsday sets you at exactly 7 cards.
But it doesn't. It sets you at 5 cards.
It sets you at
5. That's what Doomsday does.
It's 5 and not 7. Oh my.
Oh my god.
I mean, we can edit that part out. It's really not a problem.
Oh, so. It's bold for you to assume that I will remember to do that at some crazy early hour at
so,
night.
So, yeah, Jace doesn't confirm that there will be Doomsday in Modern Horizon, but there's really no point not for it to be.
Yep.
Because it's really not that strong in Modern.
Commander-wise, though, this Jace is hella strong.
Yeah, he doesn't die to Bolt.
On the other hand, he's a bit more difficult to reoccur. Because with Lab Maniac, you have actually some unearthed lines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if your deck plays Laboratory Maniac, you should also play Jace Wielder of Mysteries.
Yeah.
Because holy crap, he's good. Because Laboratory Maniac doesn't do one thing. He doesn't actually facilitate you and enable you to win the game.
Well, Jace actively tries to win you the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Laboratory Maniac can if you have a zombie out.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy doesn't even need that. So our boy Jace is back, and he's back in style.
And he's just a rare. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's a common theme. That Mythic Planeswalkers have 4 abilities, like 3 plus, well, Gideon is an exception. Okay, so they have 4 abilities, rare ones have 3, and uncommon ones have 2.
Or one. Yeah, yeah, 2-2-2.
2-2-2.
So what does Liliana do? Speaking of the traitor.
Well, Liliana is a 6-mana, 6 loyalty planeswalker, so so no more 3 drops lilies. Whenever a creature you control dies, draw a card. That's pretty good by itself.
For 6 mana, it's supposed to be something like that.
Plus 1, you create a 2-2 black zombie creature.
Okay.
Minus 4, each player sacrifices 2 creatures. And minus 9, Cataclysm.
Basically, but worse.
Yeah, because they choose?
Worst in the sense that Cataclysm ignored Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
But better because each opponent chooses a permanent they control.
But better because the Liliana doesn't ignore the Planeswalkers.
Yep. No. Cataclysm said you choose one of set types and sacrifice all the rest things.
Oh, so, it outright killed Planeswalkers.
Yeah, yeah, just ignore them in selection. They die. They die.
Okay.
This one is 6 mana, so that's a bit iffy. And let's not focus on the Cataclysm ability, because if you get to there, you're doing good. Minus 4 and plus 1, how do they fare? And the passive ability.
Well, her plus 1 is like... I mean, it heals her passive, so that's good.
Yeah, and it protects her, so that's nice.
And minus 4 also fuels her passive.
Mm-hmm.
And removes creatures. Like a lot of creatures.
She's so general, but a bit higher costed. I mean, she does so much, so it's a good cost. But for me to play it in Commander, it's a bit, you know.
I mean, if you're playing it in Commander, you're playing it for the passive, because the passive is strong enough. So yeah, it's an enchantment with an upside.
Not much more to say about Liliana, right?
No.
Next one is Chandra, Fire Artisan, for 2 red-red. Whenever one or more loyalty counters are removed from Chandra, she deals that much damage to target opponent or planeswalker. This is interesting, the ability. And because it's Chandra, it's gonna be short-lived, and I actually like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, when you punch her in the face, she loses loyalty, right?
Yes.
This is actually nice. Somebody punches her, she just kills the thing. Which isn't bad, actually. Well, wasn't thinking about that.
She can't kill a thing because she only deals to players and planeswalkers.
Oh yeah, but still, you can burn a Teferi or something like that.
Yeah, like a Teferi would allow it.
Oh, you know. Plus 1, exile the top card of your library, you may play it this turn. Not bad. For mono red, not bad, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the only thing you do with her, you're doing good. Minus 7, exile the top 7 cards of your library, you may play them this turn.
I mean, sure, okay.
She burns stuff and gives you card advantage, she's alright.
She's good with... she's good in conjecture with Experimental Frenzy, because you can just toss aside those cards you can't actually cast.
Actually, really good point.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even thinking about that one, but that's actually a really good point. She's just a fine planeswalker.
Yeah, she does one thing, but she does it decently.
Yeah, and for a color she's in, she does it actually real good, because you need that kind of advantage to keep up with everybody else.
Yeah, if you're not already using Light Up the Stage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you use Light Up the Stage and this, and if you can, the Chandra from Kaladesh. And Outpost Siege and Fatal Sluting and all those things, because, to keep up. But she's not bad. She's not stupidly good like Torch of Defiance. I just like her, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually expecting her to be much worse. This is a pleasant surprise. So what does the one who quit her job do?
So Neza, who shakes the world, is a 3 green-green with 5 loyalty. And whenever you tap a forest for mana, add an additional green.
I mean, that's almost... Reflection, Mana Reflection or something like that? The 6 mana one from Shadowmoor.
Yeah, but that doubled mana also.
For all things, but you know, this is close enough.
It's more, it's more like that Dictate of Karametra.
Just for you.
Just for you, yeah.
This is... Oh, that's okay for 5 mana, honestly.
And then she has some abilities. I mean, for plus 1, you put 3 plus 1 counters on up to 1 target non-creature land you control, untap it, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with vigilance and haste that's still a land. Not until end of turn, it's a creature.
You basically awaken it.
So she awakens lands, but most importantly, she untaps it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that sweet, sweet double green.
Of course, when the Wrath of God shows up, you're going to be a bit more sad, but you know.
Oh, that's why she has her -8. You get an emblem with lands you control have indestructible. Also, search your library for any number of forest cards, put them into play tapped, then shuffle your library.
You know what I want to do to happen? Somebody using this emblem on me, and then I play the Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they're indestructible, buddy.
Or, you know, that... well, what's it called? That removal with the angry Kamigawa god dragon.
Oh god, that would be painful.
What's it
but they wouldn't be creatures for a good while.
Oh yeah, they're not actually creatures.
Anywho, what do you think about Nissa?
I mean, she gives additional green mana. That's about it.
Yeah, that's why you use her, honestly.
She's not the token green planeswalker I'm gonna look forward to using.
Yeah, she has a niche which is doubling your mana, basically. And that's fine. She's not fine in a way that Chandra is fine in my mind, honestly.
I mean, yeah, it's just double mana. We have enough sources to double our mana anyways.
Chandra was like, yes, we actually need this. And Nissa is like, okay, this is fine. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna, you know, gush over it, but I'm not gonna say, okay, this is a crap card.
Anyhow, let's go on to another Planeswalker.
Oh, I love this one. The Wanderer for 3 and a white. Legendary Planeswalker. That's it.
Yep.
Prevent all land combat damage that will be dealt to you and other permanents you control. -2 exile target creature with power 4 or greater, and she has loyalty of 5. She's interesting. You can use things like Pyroclasm, Blasphemous Act, and have all your things intact.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame she can't protect herself, but that would be, like, really, actually really broken.
Almost. She's the first uncommon we're talking about.
Yep, she's the first uncommon. So, a passive and a removal.
Yeah, and she can't really have self-protection as an uncommon, I think.
Well, she has kind of a self-protection because she exiles creatures with power 4 or more, but, you know.
It's not unconditional. Like, you know, make a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Or exile creature.
And she can't uptick, so
mm-hmm.
she gonna die.
Yeah, but you use her removal if you really need to.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she's an enchantment. And the art is actually bitching. She looks like baby's first D&D character. She has a big hat, she's mysterious, has long white hair and a fancy sword. Basically, you get the gist. We all made characters like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of it, you all are, you know it. What's the next thing?
Well, the next thing, I just want to say that since she's a legendary planeswalker without a creature type, it's obviously Arcanis.
No, it's Nameless Race.
Okay, I'm going to stick with it's Arcanis.
I wish it was Arcanis.
So, let's go on. And we finally got him. The man, the myth, the legend.
The meme.
The Fabuthub the Lost. He's one and a blue for a 1/1 legendary creature homunculus, and when it enters the battlefield, draw a card. If it entered from your library or was cast from your library, draw two cards instead. And when it becomes the target of a spell, shuffle it into its owner's library.
So, things we can do with this. Auto Druids. What else can we do with this?
We can... Proteus staff it.
Oh, that makes things a bit fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you tutor your deck for two cards and rearrange the rest as you want.
Basically, or yeah. I wasn't expecting him to be actually this strong.
And he's really strong.
You can also play him in with Experimental Frenzy, speaking of.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Of course, you'll draw two cards you can't actually, you know, cast right now, but you'll be able to later.
Mm-hmm.
He gets also in just in his color, a library, Magus of the Future and the Future Sight. Those mm-hmm. two things. Also cast him from your library.
So yeah, he's a surprising.
He's combalicious.
Yeah. I mean,
he's combalicious.
We thought he was gonna, like, steal all the sparks and become an Omega Planeswalker, but this is kind of better.
This is even better. He becomes a competitive commander. Screw the sparks.
He got lost and he found his. He accidentally got his way into competitive EDH.
I mean.
Wow.
Yeah. He's one confused boy.
Speaking of memes,
yeah, we might talk about Football of the Lost later, you know, as times go by, but we have so much spoilers to talk about, so we'll go past him. Want to talk about the black or the red first, or are we going by the order?
Since we're talking about memes.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And this, you have to cover this one.
Yeah, so we got Tybalt.
Yay.
And he's an uncommon.
Yeah, of course he is.
So Tybalt, Rakish Instigator is a 2 and a red for a 5 loyalty. Wow, that's so high. Planeswalker with your opponents can't gain life. And for -2, you create a 1/1 red devil creature with... When this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to any target.
Yay.
Wow.
I mean, we got what he expected from Tybalt, honestly. Let's not act like we didn't think it was going to be anything like this.
We definitely got what we were.
Has a useful ability, which is your opponents can't gain life.
Yeah. That's the best part of him.
And as we said, you need to focus on the passive ability.
Yep. So how are we going to abuse this ability?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I know how. What is that red-green land that taps to give you mana but gives an opponent life?
Oh, yeah, that. And you have that... Burn Willows, yeah. And you also have that 1/6 flying wall for 2 mana that has a cumulative upkeep of your opponents gaining 1 life.
Oh my god.
Now they won't gain that life. Ha, jokes on them. And you prevent your opponents from switching life with Tree of Perdition to gain life.
Yep. Also, nobody's gonna attack him because he's Tybalt.
It's like, what's the point?
They'll just look at you and be like, wow, this is sad. And keep on playing actual good cards.
So yeah, we got another... Okay.
I'm hoping you go to the pre-release and this is your promo.
No, stop it.
I'm hoping for that. Actually, now that I said it, it's gonna be mine. Yeah. So, next is Obnixilus, the Hate Twisted. For 5, 3 black-black, he's a legendary walker Nixilus, 5 loyalty. Whenever an opponent draws a card, he deals 1 damage to the player. -2, destroy target creature, its controller draws 2 cards. Honestly, that's okay.
You can destroy your own creature to draw two cards.
I was actually just going to be like, I can just kill my stuff and that's fine.
He's probably going to be used for that.
Next show, you know what's a fun thing to do? I have a clamp on my creature. I draw four now.
Wow.
That's actually not bad, is it?
Yeah, but you can do that only twice.
We have gotten a bunch of proliferate things in this set, so you might actually even, you know... If some of them are useful, you might even do them.
Yeah, and he actually might randomly just kill someone.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wills a Wheel of Fortunes, guess what?
Huh, doesn't he then fit into a Wheel of Fortune deck?
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing a bit more casual, you're playing things like Windfall. I mean, I play Windfall in my circle. Might just as well do that. Mm-hmm. Just for fun. And if somebody has like 15 cards in their hand, then you Windfall with this guy out.
Yeah, that's a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. He's again alright.
But he deals 1 damage. That means that if somebody has Gisela, he deals 0 damage.
Do you first Nyxia use the -2 and then do the things?
No,
okay, I apologize. I apologize. Of course you don't.
Okay.
Now, what does Vivian
moving
do?
On to a token green planeswalker that I actually just might be playing. So it's Vivian, Champion of the Wilds. For only 2 and a green, so very aggressively costed. I mean, so it's Tybalt, but that's Tybalt. It's a rare planeswalker, Vivian, with 4 loyalty. You may cast creature spells as though they had flash. Nice.
That's really good.
For +1, until your next turn, up to 1 targeted creature gains vigilance and reach.
That's also okay.
Yeah, it's...
Protects your walker.
Yeah, especially if you give it to a Wyrmcoil.
Oh god.
Wyrmcoil with reach. Oh my.
Death Touch, Lifelink, Vigilance, Reach, why the hell not?
And for -2, look at the top 3 cards of your library, exile 1 face down and put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. For as long as it remains exiled, you may look at that card and you may cast it if it's a creature card.
Which has flash.
If Vivian's still alive.
Of course.
But if Vivian is not alive, you can still cast that card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know why this is good? It's good because you... let's say you look at the top 3 cards and you see, oh wow, this is an Ulamog. I could really use an Ulamog. But I don't have mana to cast it. And my opponent has a Liliana. And my hand is empty. Well, guess what? Ulamog is kind of safe in the exile.
Mm-hmm.
And next turn, you top deck a Tron land, like you usually do, and just cast the Ulamog. And then the Liliana becomes sad.
She does a lot of things for just 3 mana.
A lot of things, and she has 3 super relevant abilities.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think that we're going to be seeing way and way less of Nyssa as time goes by because they chose Vivian to be their token green planeswalker.
I mean, it's because Nyssa broke the pack.
You didn't fire me, I quit, you mean?
Well, I mean, she was actually, like, smart to do that because why would she band with a bunch of traitors?
Yeah. Moving on?
Moving on.
Teo, the shield mage, I like this guy, even though he's not that good. For 2 and a white, he's a Teo planeswalker with 5 loyalty. You have hexproof. And -2, create 0/3 white wall creature token with defender. He's simple and here to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
With his passive ability protects your face directly, and -2 just protects you from enemy creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's good enough. If playing something a bit more defensive like white-blue, you might even play this guy normally.
Mm-hmm.
A, with Augustine, he's like 1 and white.
And he's, you know, pretty good in a wall commander deck.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Arcades, because he draws cards.
And you can play him in stuff like Doran, because if you're gonna be using some reanimation things, he protects you from Bujuka box.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty nifty.
Mm-hmm.
We got an Ogre of Bolas reprint.
And we talked about that one last week, though.
Yeah, but we didn't see the foil promo version, which looks absolutely amazing.
Yep. Want to talk about the edge?
Not really.
Okay,
because
Shenko.
It reminds me of Aatrek, and I don't like Aatrek. So let's go on.
Shenko it is.
Shenko.
What does Shenko do?
Shenko, Tin Street Kingpin, is a 2 and a red for a 1-2 creature goblin, legendary creature. And when he attacks, put a +1 counter on it, then create a number of 1-1 red goblin creature equal to Krenko's power.
Bunch of people were hyped up and saying this Krenko is way better than the old one.
But he's not.
He's definitely not, because this one has to actually go to the red zone to do anything.
And he doesn't combo with anything.
Previous Krenko, because both you and I were savagely ravaged by the old Krenko, because of Philip, our resident Krenko player. That guy comboed with so many things. This one is just, you know, nice and valuey.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, this one is much fairer card and, you know, much more broadly applicable. You don't have to be filled to combo deck to actually use this guy properly.
And he's almost like a third copy of what are they called? The three mana Rubble Master.
Yeah.
Almost.
Just, kinda. This token just doesn't attack. And unlike those two guys, this guy actually has to go to the danger zone.
Mm-hmm.
But the more lords you have with this guy, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. We don't need to talk about Arlen, right?
Yeah, no, really no need. She doesn't transform, so whatever.
Ignite the beacon, though.
Oh, yeah.
White instant, search library for up to 2 planeswalker cards, reveal them, put them into hand, and shuffle your library. Nice.
Nice.
5 mana is a bit much for a tutor, that's specific, but planeswalkers are notoriously difficult to tutor for.
Yeah, there was that Call the Gatewatch, which was at 3 yep. mana, but it was sorcery speed, and making this instant speed makes it so much better.
Yeah, yep.
And it's also a tutor for 2 cards.
Yep, and that's about all you can say about this card, because it's a narrow tutor, that's it.
Flux Channeler, though.
That's strong.
It's a good card. It's a 2 and a blue for a 2-2 human wizard. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, proliferate.
This was the moment when Atraxa players started touching themselves, I think.
Pretty much.
You cast a planeswalker, your planeswalkers are bigger now. You cast a mana rock, your planeswalkers are bigger now. Also, somebody is going to die from infect.
Yeah.
Randomly
dying from infect.
You're just chaining, opt into brainstorm, into ponder, into preordain, put somebody at 5 infect.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of good.
Also, you obviously have the snack out, so, you know,
oh,
that's
God.
Casually 10 counters.
That's casually disgusting.
That's casually kind of really disgusting. And it all fits into the Atraxa, yay!
But yeah, she's benefiting from this set a lot. What's next up, Bitter Blossom?
Well, more like Worse Blossom.
What does it do?
Dreadhorde Invasion is 1 and a black for an enchantment, not even tribal. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 1 life and amass 1. But what is amass? It's a mess.
Wow.
So, to amass 1 means put a +1/+1 counter on an army you control. If you don't control 1, create a 0/0 black zombie army creature token first. So, you either get a 1-1, or your army dudes, one army dude becomes bigger.
First of all, what kind of stupid army is it when it's just one guy?
Yeah, I don't know. It also has some sort of other ability. Whenever a zombie token you control with power 6 or greater attacks, it gains lifelink at the end of turn.
Super specific.
Yeah. Well, let's just get to the...
To the chopper?
Words are hard. Let's just get to the end. It's not Bitter Blossom.
Oh, it's definitely not. First of all, Bitter Blossom makes you 1-1 each time.
And they have flying.
They have flying, and they have relevant tribal
They have two relevant creature types, yep.
This is just, you know.
Yeah, this also has two creature types. Zombie and army.
Ooh, army.
Whoa, armies.
Yeah, the concept of army is just, you don't get many dudes, it's like, what the hell.
Not really what? An army now, is it?
Yep.
Speaking of armies...
Our main man, Neheb, is back. He's a Dreadhorde champion now, so he upgraded, I guess?
Kind of.
Two and a red, so... he's a 5-4. Legendary creature, zombie, minotaur, warrior again. He has trample. Whenever he deals combat damage to player or planeswalker, you may discard any number of cards. If you do, drop that many cards and add that much red mana. Until end of turn, you don't lose this mana as steps and phases, and oh my god, he does so much.
He does quite a lot. Unless your hand is empty, then he does nothing.
I'm super impressed actually how much he does.
Yep, pretty relevant abilities in a red deck.
You get card advantage, you get mana. He has trample, so he can actually smack people if they have just like one blocker.
Mm-hmm. He's our a dangerous main, boy.
Our main Neheb has been improving steadily through sets.
If we get another version of Neheb, I'm kind of scared what he'll actually do.
3 mana, 8-8, when he hits an opponent, they lose the game, he's unblockable.
Sure.
Haste. Super haste, actually.
It's super haste, yeah, he can attack before he's summoned.
Sheesh, Neheb is good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't actually thinking how he'll turn up, but boy.
Oh boy.
So, what's next?
We got the Zhang Yangu Wildcrafter.
You mean Rishkar?
Yeah, but you know what Rishkar lacked? A cute doggo.
Okay, you have a good point. You have a good point. I stand corrected.
So, yeah, he's a Rishkar. So, yeah, creatures you control with a +1/+1 counter on them have, you know, tap to add a mana. 3 mana, 3 loyalty. And for -1, you put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, whatever. There's the doggo in the picture.
There's also a dog a bit later, actually printed, but we'll talk about him when we get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Ravnica at War, sorcery, 3 and a white, exile all multicolored permanents. Just like that. You ton of snap things.
Yeah, so it's a niche card.
Not that niche in Commander.
Well, most of the dorks are one mana.
Yeah, but...
Like single color?
Yeah, but a bunch of things in Commander are multicolored. A bunch of planeswalkers are going to be multicolored and people are going to be playing Madam Atraxa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually relevant. Mm. But you have a legend to talk about, I think.
Well, we got Massacre Girl.
Oh.
And she does massacre stuff. So it's a 3 double black for a 4/4 human assassin, legendary creature, with menace. When Massacre Girl enters the battlefield, each other creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Whenever a creature dies this turn, each creature other than Massacre Girl gets -1/-1 until end of turn.
She can wipe the table so easily.
Pretty easily, yeah.
She comes into play -1/-1 to all the things, kills a dork, which triggers her again. Which is -2/-2 to now everything, which might just kill another thing.
Or it just comes into play with, like, 4 dorks in play, And that's minus one to all of them, and they all trigger Massacre Girl.
Yep.
And she gives minus four to everything.
I was going with the actually a less profitable scenario. And yeah, that's still really strong. This scenario that you spoke kills even Nekeb in this scenario.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a gal.
And people who be playing her will most likely be playing things like the Closet and all that, Conjurer's Closet.
Mm-hmm.
To bounce her again and again.
So yeah, keep clearing that board.
She's a bit highly costed, but I actually like her. And I like her character.
And her stats are less than ideal. You know, 4-4 instead of 2-2.
I mean, yeah. But I like, just flavor-wise, that she's a menace. Get it? She's a menace to society.
Mm-hmm. And she kills everyone equally. No
yep.
prejudice there.
Besides her. She doesn't kill herself.
Yeah.
So that would be a really crappy massacre person.
Yep.
Do we talk about the...
Slapcaster Mage? He's a... No, not really.
It's alright.
It's alright.
Single combat?
It's just bad.
I mean, three white sorcery, each player chooses a creature or planeswalker they control and sacrifice the rest. Players can cast creature or planeswalker spells at the end of your next turn, but Nahirian Surrender Fighting!
They're probably gonna bang in the end.
Sorin is out of the wall! And not you, Kato, I mean the actual Sorin.
Yeah, Sorin just suddenly is out of the wall, like...
And he's okay. Slightly pissed.
Well, obviously not enough.
I mean... But yeah, I'm liking that he's back, and the thing they do... There is an interplanar war, right? Mm-hmm. Going on Ravnica. The thing that Nahiri and Sorin do are like, oh yeah, first we'll murder each other. And then, if we care enough about anything else...
Maybe we'll help someone?
Maybe, but most likely nah. Because they're too old for this stuff, actually.
Yeah.
next...
Really old, oh my god.
Yeah. They're a bunch of old fogies fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing to talk about is actually the Evolution Sage.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it do?
It wins games.
So
it's a 2 and a green for a 3-2 elf druid. It's an elf druid. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, proliferate.
Lord Windgrave's decks are suddenly much happier.
Then again, there's...
No, but think what this does with Lord Windgrave and Fetchlands.
That's a lot of proliferation.
Yeah, minus two, I think it's minus two or three. Minus three, right?
Minus three.
To get two lands into play. Proliferate, two counters. You crack those things. You get two more counters. You're netting positive with this guy.
Yep. Plus one, you get two lands.
Basically. And then you can play a land for turn. Which could also be fetch land.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's a bit stronger than just an uncommon.
And also, you can play Azusa Lost But Seeking as an infect deck.
God. You just play Gissen Elf, hit everybody for once, right?
Yeah. And that's it. Eventually, you'll win the game.
There's not a lot to say about this card because it does so much.
It proliferates. That's all it does, yeah, and that's really powerful.
Anything you can, you know, play proliferate to, this guy does it.
For the simple act of putting a land into play.
Which you might do once or twice in a game of Magic, I guess.
I guess.
Now that we talked about something really wide, want to talk about something super narrow?
Oh, like Tomic?
Yep. He's a distinguished advocate, and advocates are basically lawyers of Ravnica. He's a white 2/3 human advisor, and for a reason he flies...
Well, there's something of a flying thing behind him.
But that's less important. lands on the battlefield and land cards in graveyards can't be targets of spells or abilities your opponents control. Your opponents can't play land cards from graveyards, so that this makes Wingray sad.
Well, your opponents can't play land cards from graveyards, but they can put land cards from graveyards.
Yeah, but you target those lands in graveyards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A thing that this doesn't stop is the Gitrog monster. You disable some lines like, you know, Life from the Loam and things like that. But the main combo is still not going to be touched.
It's a shame that he's in the wrong colors, so I can't protect my Tron lands. You know, maybe he's in the right colors and I'm just playing the wrong colors of Tron.
Yeah, mono-white Tron, oh my god. Don't do that. But yeah, his nice niche legendary creature that you can slot into your attacks and decks if people are abusing things like Crucible of the World too much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all that I mean to say about that. Did we talk about the Triumph?
We did not.
What does it do?
So Liliana's Triumph is a 1 and a black instant for an edict effect that makes each opponent sacrifice a creature, and if you control a Liliana Planeswalker, each opponent also discards a card.
This is strong.
Pretty okay.
2 mana kill, let's say, 3 creatures, and maybe, you know, whoever discards a card. Pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Not much to say about that one, and the promo is lovely.
Yep. It's just an edict effect.
Yeah, it's a real, it's edict effect that hits everybody, besides you, which could be a downside, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the doggo, weren't you?
Yeah, we got the doggo.
What does the doggo do?
First of all,
is he a good boy?
He's the bestest of boys.
Okay, good. Okay, we can carry on.
Mowu, Loyal Companion, is a 3 and a green for a 3/3 Trample Vigilance Legendary Creature Hound. It's an uncommon. Hey, uncommon legendaries. With Trample and Vigilance, and if one or more +1/+1 counters would be put on the good boy, that many +1/+1/+1 counters are put God. On it instead.
What kind of sentence is this?
So he gets an extra +1/+1 counter for every doggy treat he gets.
And now put Hardened Scales in play with him.
And he transformed from that cute little pupper into a, like, savage, swole dog.
Also, somebody gave us much more accurate translation of this card. Mobu, goodest boy, Tina Green, heckin' famous creature, doggo. He attack, he protect. If give a +1/+1, give another +1/+1.
Yeah, that's easier to understand than...
Honestly,
that many
yeah.
+1/+1/+1.
He's an okay card. Honestly, he goes with, of course, with Young Yangu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it about him. Next thing to talk about is what? The Paradise Druid?
Paradise Druid is an interesting mana dork.
So, for 1 and a green, creature Elf Druid. Paradise Druid has hexproof as long as it's untapped. Tap, add 1 mana of any color, it's a 2/1, and the flavor text says, there are many kinds of duty, and mine is to die to a chain roller. Because you know that's gonna happen in Standard.
Yeah. Like, hey, look at my dork, it doesn't die to shocks. Haha.
Oh. Well, chain whirler. But yeah, I like this tension. It's untapped and it has hexproof. Tap it, put it in danger, but you get the mana.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the game, you can trade with X2s.
We got an interesting card coming up called Bane Hound. It's a 1 black for a 1/1 lifelink haste. So we just needed the green to make it a 1/1 lifelink haste, vigilance, and flying.
Yeah, do you want to explain the joke for listeners who aren't that old?
So During the last great designer search, one of the questions was, if you would design a 4/4 flying vigilance creature, what color combinations would you put it in that are not the, like, the obvious ones?
The white blue.
Yeah. The question didn't state that it should not be white blue, but it kind of like insinuated that.
Yeah.
So, it turns out that a 4/4 flying vigilance is black and green.
Because of course it is.
Because black sometimes has flying, and green sometimes has vigilance, so, yeah, it's...
I mean, it has vigilance fairly often, but it's not, you know, a thing that it's known for. And the whole magic community was like, wow, this answer is bullshit, Mark Rosewater. Because it actually was bullshit.
I mean, it's whatever, really.
Yeah. I don't feel that strongly about it.
But yeah, one black for a 1/1 lifelink haste creature.
It's a good limited card.
No, it's not. It's horrible.
It's a really good limited card. Come
it's
on.
A really fucking
if it said death touch instead of, you know,
oh,
haste,
okay, sure.
That would change the card so much.
So you got a bunch of things.
Limited ones. Yeah,
you were saying?
Thing that I would like is Obnixis's Cruelty, by the way. Not for Commander. 2 and a black, instant attack creature gets -5/-5 until the end of turn. If that creature would die, at this turn exiled instead. It's a common, really good removal.
Yep. Black has some really decent removals. I mean, mostly because of that.
Also a card that's not good, but really emotional. Rising Populace. Seen the card?
Yeah.
2 and a white for a 2/2 human creature. Whenever another creature or planeswalker you control dies, put +++ counter on it. Flavor text. Grief is a crucible where resolve is tempered, and you see a bunch of people protesting and basically having a funeral march for somebody who died in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oof, I wasn't prepared to feel this much because of a common.
It's like those ghost kids all over again.
Basically, but actually worse. Because ghost kids, they're ghosts, but they're happy. This is just grief on a card. Also, to go to a bit more fun cards, Honor of the God Pharaoh. People dancing the Thriller on the art.
Okay.
Because, come on, they are.
I mean, I'm sure that Bolas appreciates this.
We're doing Thriller. Anywho.
Of course we have Totally Lost.
Of course, and Full Loop is on top of Ugin's head.
It's actually a statue, I think. Yeah, it's a statue.
Is it?
It's a statue.
Is it? Oh, no, it's not Bolas' head.
It is Bolas' head.
Is it? Who the hell knows anymore?
Yeah, because because the horns go to the middle and not to the sides.
Flavor text, at least this was better than the week at the Jura review. You know what Jura review is?
No.
It's the infamous district where the Ragdos have their parties.
Oh.
And he spent a week there.
Wow, and he survived?
Of course he did. Are you doubting him?
I never did.
Because he was summoning spell, target of a spell, so he got shuffled.
Mm-hmm.
We go multicolor now?
We definitely go multicolor now. Oh yeah, there was a random green worm in somewhere there. But who cares?
There was.
It's a common.
What does Nicol Bolas do, Nixon?
Oh, Nicol Bolas, Dragon God.
He does everything?
So he's 1, black, red, for a legendary planeswalker Bolas, with 4 loyalty, and...
Just a second. Blue, black, red.
What did I say?
1.
Yeah. Blue. 1. Blue, black, red.
So,
it's kind of hard to cast.
I mean, but it's worth it.
Well, with Dark Ritual, you cover the black part.
Definitely.
Nicol Bolas Dragon God has all loyalty abilities of all other planeswalkers on the battlefield.
What the hell?
Plus one, you draw a card. Each opponent exiles a card from their hand or a permanent they control.
Sheesh.
Wow. wow.
Honestly, it's hard to cast, but oh my god.
Like, the plus one is like, that's it. That's his ultimate.
Yeah. No, it's the ability you play him for, basically.
Minus three, destroy target creature or planeswalker.
Makes sense. He did it already, so it makes sense. And he's killing everybody he wants.
Minus eight, each opponent who doesn't control a legendary creature or planeswalker loses the game.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, wipe the board, minus eight.
And if you have Jace Cunning Castaway...
Oh, God. Explain what happens, Nixon.
Well, let me just refresh what's just a minute. Jace Cunning Castaway. The point is, Jace Cunning Castaway has, for minus 5, you create two tokens that are copies of Jace Cunning Castaway, except they're not legendary. So, if you have a way of generating boluses that enter the battlefield with two extra counters, which shouldn't really be that hard, Nicol Bolas creates two copies of himself. Not of Jace, of himself.
Yep.
And then you get, like, all the boluses in the world.
That's silly, but just Bolas himself is really strong.
Yeah. And he's also the strongest of all the boluses, because he has the abilities of all the other boluses. Bolasai.
Yeah, but even without it, he's just strong. He's a 5-mana Bolas, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And the abilities are holy moly.
Too bad you can't play it in Atraxa.
Good.
But we will get to a better Planeswalker commander in a bit.
Yeah. So what's next?
Next up we have Tezzeret, Master of the Bridge.
He's actually really good.
For his passive.
Yeah, 4 and blue and black, 5 loyalty. Creature and planeswalker spells you cast have affinity for artifacts. Just that, you know, easy.
That's it.
that and plus 2. He deals X damage to each opponent where X is the number of artifacts you control, you gain X life.
It's like the Slave of Bolas one, but for twice as less damage. Half the damage.
But this is a plus ability.
Yep.
That Planeswalker's ability was the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 3, return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. And minus 8, exile the top 10 cards of your library, put all artifact cards from among them onto the battlefield.
Sure, those are abilities that he possesses.
And they can be useful, but this is a good design of Planeswalker because it's just focused on that plus 2 ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because it freaking wins the game.
And, you know, having affinity for artifacts on everything is kind of really good as well.
Who plays artifacts in Commander anymore?
Also, he's a Biobox promo.
Oh, he is?
Yep, an exclusive Biobox promo.
Maybe this one won't break standard.
He won't, in 6 mana. But he does have...
Make sure.
There are these three words... affinity for artifacts on him, so that might be a problem.
Also, previous 7 mana Biobox promo was a bit problematic.
Yeah, but it actually did something when it entered the field.
Yeah.
I mean, entered, played.
Domri, we can touch a bit.
He's a 1 red, green, 3 loyalty Domri. Creatures you can have control get +1/+0. For plus one, he adds a green or a red, and creature spells you cast this turn can't be countered. So that's actually pretty nice.
For 3 mana, that's actually good. You get an anthem effect and mana dog.
Minus 2, target creature you control, fights target creature you don't control. Sure, whatever.
He's just a good package, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like I said, an anthem and a mana dog for 3 mana is not a bad deal.
And an eventual removal.
That and his counter spell protection.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually really well packed, and that's it.
At just 3 mana.
Not blowing your mind, but actually doing a lot of work.
But who will blow our minds?
Raoul, Storm's Conduit. For 2 blue-red, he comes in with 4 loyalty, and whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, he deals 1 damage to target opponent or planeswalker. Plus 2, scry 1. Minus 2, when you cast the next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell, you may choose new targets for the copy.
So what's the point? You play him, you minus 2 and win that turn, right?
Basically. You just need to pick your spell real well.
You just need 2 more copy effects.
Basically, yeah. But you can just use random... what's that 7 or 6 mana enchantment from Amonkhet that copies your instant sorceries? You know what I'm talking about.
You can also just use Narumeh, huh?
Oh yeah, you can do that. Basically, he does a lot in this color combination.
Well, he wins the game, so that's kind of a lot, yeah.
That's all right, I guess. what's next?
Well, we have Sorin, Freed from the Wall. Well, he's actually called Sorin, Vengeful Bloodlord. So for 2 and a white and a black, a 4 loyalty planeswalker Sorin, as long as it's your turn, creatures and planeswalkers you control have lifelink. That's why I said he curves really well after Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a 3 mana, this is a 4 mana, and you have a 4-4, a 4-4 lifelinking Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
For plus 2, he deals 1 damage to our creature or planeswalker.
Player or planeswalker?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And for minus X, return target creature card with converted mana cost X from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature is a vampire.
I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, something like Chandra becomes much better now.
Yeah. Lifelink. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, you get lifelink. It's a bit more utility.
As long as it's your turn.
Yeah, so Chandra usually works in your turn.
But Chandra... I mean, this Chandra or some other Chandra?
A bunch of Chandras. You know what gets fun? If you can... the Zendikar one. Which you minus X to deal X damage to all creatures.
Oh, yeah.
I'll minus X. Get 80 life. Pass the turn to you.
Speaking of passing turns.
Yeah, that's fun. Speaking of passing turns, you want to talk about Sorin a bit more, or...?
Yeah, Sorin's minus X is also pretty good. I mean, especially because his first ability is a plus 2.
Yep.
So he's actually a decent reanimator.
Honestly, paying minus 2 to get something like Bob back, or minus 3 to get a Timna back, worth it.
Minus 1 to get a Dork back also.
Yeah, I might actually get this guy and try to slot him in Alesha just to play a bit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another reanimate effect. And lifelink is actually nothing to scoff at with how much life I'm losing to everything.
Yep.
Teferi, Time Reveler. 1 and white and blue. He comes in with 4 loyalty. Each opponent can cast spells only at any time they could cast a sorcery. This is a good thing, but it can also backfire. Somebody goes to, you know, combo out, and you're the only person who can actually do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 1 until your next turn, cast sorceries as if they had flash. Minus 3, return up to 1 target artifact, creature, or an enchantment to its owner's hand, draw a card.
honestly, he's pretty decent for a 3-mana planeswalker.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't even have to play stupid Velkanor in your deck when you have this guy.
I mean, he's just as you make a sorcery spells as though they have flesh.
Yeah, but the biggest argument is so for Velkanor, what if I need to Wrath of God on somebody else's turn? Well, here, now you can't shut up. Stop playing bad cards.
And the Fairy Time Reveler is also just 2-mana when you have your boy Grand Arbiter out.
Mm-hmm. You know what's also fun? You -3 him finally and kill him, you know, and get something back to owner's hand. You play Sun Titan. Yeah, this guy can be brought back with Sun Titan. And that's actually nothing to scoff at. That's actually a good thing.
That's mm-hmm. really relevant.
Yep. Because Agostin decks usually do play Sun Titans.
It's a shame that he does. Now it's kind of a shame that he doesn't remove himself with his -3.
Gee.
Wow, it's like they thought about that.
I think it's more of a, he can't tuck himself back in just to avoid, you know, Eternal Recursion. Mm-hmm. But then there is Sun Titan. Now you have the Eternal Recursion.
And he's just a rare, so mm-hmm. yeah, this is not gonna be that crazy price spike to the fairy
yep.
like.
The this one is less good than Hero Dominaria.
Definitely.
But I like the flavor of this guy. He actually is playing with time, and you can feel it in this card.
Yeah, too bad the plot demands him not to be, you know, completely overpowered, even though he is.
I mean, he wasn't Dominaria.
Did you say he was or wasn't?
He was. That card, Hero Dominaria, is stupidly strong.
No, I was thinking like...
I know what you meant. He can't be the all-powerful god he basically is.
Yeah, he can't even beat a frog.
Womp womp. What's next, Nixon?
We have Ajani, the Great-Hearted. 2 green-white... For a 5 loyalty planeswalker, Ajani, creatures you control have vigilance, +1 you gain 3 life, -2, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control and a loyalty counter on each other planeswalker you control.
-2 is really strong.
Yeah, especially because he puts a +1/+1 counter on Gideon and a loyalty counter on Gideon.
Oh god! Fuck me, first time I needed to swear, I think, in this episode of... Wow! Him and Gideon are really best buddies, aren't they?
Yep. They're the new, Gideon bromance. And Jace.
New bromance.
New bromance.
Now, the question is who's the bottom, who's the top, but let's actually answer the question some other time.
Yeah.
He's just solid planeswalker, really good. And nice interaction with Gideon, I didn't think about that one.
So, yeah, he's basically just a Gideon support card. Planeswalker support card.
I was gonna say, kinda his Gideon support card.
it's a Planeswalker support card, and that's good on its own.
Mm-hmm. That's all we need to say about him, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to take the next one as well. Because it's your boy.
Oh, yeah. So, we were talking about the new Super Friends Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got Niv-Mizzet Reborn. He is 1 mana of every color for a 6/6 legendary creature dragon avatar. Oh, he's not a wizard anymore.
Nope.
Flying. And when Niv-Mizzet Reborn enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library. For each color pair, choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them.
First thing we need to unpack, he's reborn. What killed him?
I'm thinking Bolas.
And he's back. And I think that's why he's an avatar, because he transcended, you know, being a wizard.
And he's probably like the living guild pact now.
Okay, I can actually give it to him, because he's a responsible fuck up, but he protects Ravnica when he's not in danger of dying.
So once you reveal those cards, you put the chosen cards into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Mm-hmm.
So he can draw you, well, theoretically, he can draw you 10 cards.
Or zero. You're going to be really sad if you hit something monocolored.
Yeah. I mean, still, you're going to get a 6-6 flying out of the deal.
Yeah. And you chunked like 10 cards to the bottom and you can still get something fresh. And it's an ETB, so you can abuse that as well.
Mm-hmm. Basics. Like we're lacking blinking.
Yeah.
Planeswalkers.
Same things we were talking about. The Massacre Girl applies to him as well.
So yeah, he can. Just the fact that he draws cards immediately when you play him. I mean, when he mm-hmm. resolves. That's kind of powerful.
This one is less combo oriented. Finally.
Finally, a Niv-Miz that does make people want to punch you in the face. But the deck you make around it, especially if it's Super Friends, will still make people want to punch you.
Yeah, but he's less of a two-card combo.
Mm-hmm.
Although I already seen people suggesting Food Chain Niv-Miz.
Because if it has a good enter the battlefield effect, why not Food Chain it?
Next up is somebody I'm like, who the hell is this guy? A Rolesk Apex Hybrid for 2 green blue, legendary human mutant, Flying Trample. When he enters the battlefield, put 2 +1/+1 counters on another dark creature you control. When he dies, proliferate, then proliferate again. Cool, buddy, you're a guy. Who the hell are you? I have no idea.
Just a random hybrid.
Honestly,
a random mutant.
If you named him just a rando and made him just a human mutant, I would be like, yeah, sure.
Sure. You do you.
Honestly. It would be even better because it's really difficult for a commander to die.
Mm-hmm. So he's just like some...
He's the guy.
Yeah. Well, it's when he dies, and it's not when he leaves the battlefield.
Yep. I want to talk about our friend of the furries. I mean, wolves.
Tolsmir. Well, that's a face I didn't expect to see, like, ever.
You know what I'm actually mad about?
Tolsmir. That it's not that...
No, Tolsmir has had a really sideline role in all the stories. 2 cards. Feather, really high prominently placed in first story and referenced in second Ravnica. 0 cards.
But Maro said that she's coming. At some
Anywho,
point.
What does our furry friend have to say?
For 2 green white, I'm noticing a pattern here with these mm-hmm. mana costs. 3/3 legendary elf scout. When Tolsmir enters the battlefield, create Voja, friend to elves, a legendary 3/3 green and white wolf creature token. This is a really weird wording. Like, they don't word other create tokens like this. Uh-huh. And whenever a wolf enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 3 life, and you may have that creature fight up to 1 target creature an opponent controls.
This is okay for Wolf Tribal, I guess. Because the people were asking for Wolf Tribal generals, but this is what they got. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Also really works really nice with the...
Yeah.
What's he called? Lord of the Wild Hunt. Or
oh, yeah,
Master of the Wild Hunt.
He looks really well.
It's like they were meant for to work together really well.
Space Wolves players are enjoying this, mm-hmm. I guess. Next up, we have the Butcher, I guess.
Do we?
Dreadhorde Butcher. He's fun. I mean, he's actually not. He's more standard card. Storev, I guess. Devarkin Lich. 1 black queen for a 5/4 zombie elf wizard. Unlike Nimizet, who isn't a wizard anymore. This guy has trample. And whenever he deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, return to your hand target creature or planeswalker card in your graveyard that wasn't put there this combat.
Recursion on a beat stick.
He's less of a threat than Meren is.
But he does have his functions.
First of all, you can beat somebody to death with this guy because he's a 5-4 with Ramble.
Yeah, that's an upside.
He just gets you one card, but you can get Planeswalkers back as well, which is a really powerful effect.
Yeah, returning Planeswalkers is kind of a big deal.
Of course, I'm pissed off that this isn't a certain former parent's son, but you know.
I'm sure that he'll appear at some point during the spoilers.
Will he?
What? I don't know. Probably.
You actually aren't certain about that.
I'm not.
What's next to talk about? Because this guy's just okay.
Well, we have another card that's just... Some of the time it's not even okay, it's just bad. So Time Wipe is a two double white and a blue for a sorcery. Return a creature you control to its owner's hand, then destroy all creatures.
I mean, get your wild creature back like Sun Titan.
Or Snapcaster.
Yeah. And do it again. Or Archaeomancer. And then get this back.
Thing is, if you don't have a creature, you can't cast this card.
That's the problem. And I think they were actually thinking about that.
But yeah, with Archaeomancer, it's like Infinite Wraths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next card to talk about, in my mind, is Angrath's Rampage. First of all, our main man Angrath is back. He's pissed off. And he does the following. Black and red, sorcery, choose one. Target player sacrifices an artifact, a creature, or a planeswalker. And the flavor text, Grand City? No. This is nothing but another Squalid Cage.
Yeah, he's really pissed for, like, staying where he doesn't want to be.
He wants to just go bloody home. Justice for Liliana? No, fuck that. Justice for Angrath.
Yeah.
He wants to be a good dad and that's it.
It's like he wandered off to Ravnica to grab another souvenir and like suddenly it's ballless.
Yeah. Now back to the card. This is a really good effect.
The only downside is that it's a sorcery.
Mm-hmm. If it was instant, it would be a bit too powerful. Cast a Planeswalker activated in response. Second Planeswalker, oh no. Honestly, good card.
Mm-hmm.
If it was actually instant, you could put it on Isochron Scepter.
Ooh.
Oh god, that would be awesome. Honestly, less disgusting use of Isochron Scepter than you usually see it.
Mm-hmm.
Does next it card?
Straight out win you the game?
Yeah. Next card?
Let's just point out that Wizards had one chance. One chance, and they blew it.
Oh, no, Nixia. We're talking about the card after the Rampage first, I think.
No. You asked me what's the next card.
Okay, we'll go back to this one. Fair enough, go.
They had one chance, and they made... So, we got Dovin's Veto. Sure. For white and a blue, it's an instant. This spell can't be countered and counter target non-creature spell. Sure, it's a cool spell. It's a really strong spell. But it's called Dovin's Veto instead of Dovin's Ban.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You had one shot. One shot.
Memes aside, how's the card like?
Well, like I said, it's actually really good. For competitive EDH... It's really good because you can just stop infinite combos.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about this except for Unsubstantiate and
Rhythm of the Wild, things like that. Oh no, we just spells. Sorry.
I was thinking that that guy, what's he called? The one that got his heart ripped out. Venser.
Oh yeah, Venser. Okay. I mean, generally, this is a good card, that's it.
A 2-mana last word, pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a negate, but you play this and negate in the same deck if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, pretty powerful effects.
So, back to your Cruel Celebrant?
Yeah, white and a black for 1/2 vampire. Whenever Cruel Celebrant or another creature on Planeswalker you control dies, each opponent loses one life, you gain one life. Another aristocrat effect.
Another blood artist.
Basically. It needs to be your thing, and I was looking for cutthroat, I guess.
Yeah, but you're going infinite, so it doesn't matter, really.
What's the next card to talk about? The devil, I guess?
Not the devil.
Devil is stupidly good.
Actually.
One black red. 3/3. Devil. Mayhem devil. Whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, he deals 1 damage to any target. A player. A permanent.
Crack a fetch, kill a dork.
Basically. Eat a kobold, kill a player, basically. This is another backup food chain win condition. You can just pink people and do a bunch of damage just outright, just for value. You cast something... you cast Cataclysm that we mentioned earlier. And do so much damage.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is an uncommon. There's rares in this set that are nowhere near this power level.
And then there are uncommons in this set that are just super strong.
Yeah, we're gonna go to this next one as well. But so, this guy 3/3 with this ability for 3 mana, holy moly, I'm getting these guys.
And he's riding a wheel.
Basically.
He's just riding a wheel. So next up we have Neoform. Green and a blue for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a creature. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost equal to 1, plus the sacrificed creature's converted mana cost. Put that card onto the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it, then shuffle your library.
So, guys, I heard you like Birthing Pod. How about the general that's Birthing Pod? How about a sorcery that's Birthing Pod?
How about a poor Birthing Pod that's a turn earlier?
Basically, if this were an instant, I would conceptor it all day, but it's in sorcery, so you know. This is a good card and nothing else we need to say about this one.
Combo all you want, people.
Basically.
You've been saying basically a lot.
Because the set is really good.
Bonkers. All the good cards are pretty basic.
Also, a lot of good cards are put on uncommon slots and low rarities. Card I want to mention, 10 District Legionnaire, isn't because of the effect. Haste, whenever you cast a spell that targets it, put +1/+1 counter on Legionnaire, then Scry 1, it's a 2/2 for 2, but the flavor text. The tent is under heavy attack, but it's being handled. I sent Mileva. I sent this one chick. She's got it. It's fine. Tajik knows his soldiers.
Yeah.
But let's talk about No Fire, No Steel, one of our main people, one of the guys we like to promote, Angrat, Captain of Chaos. What does he do?
Nothing, really.
I mean,
so he's
not really.
So he's 2 and 2 hybrid black or red manas. Creatures you control have menace, which is... that's decent. And for -2, a -2.
Honestly, for mana, menace is not bad. For an uncommon enchantment, it's fine.
And it allows your amassing armies to attack a bit better.
Honestly, I wouldn't even use it to amass if I don't need to.
But he has no other ability, so...
Menace? No, menace is strong. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strong. This just, you know, gives him a bit more boost. And that's Angrat, and he's our boy.
Next up,
I can't talk smack about Angrat. Do we even talk about Kaya?
No. She has her spotlight with the previous Ravnica.
Do we talk about Raska?
Yeah, because she goes infinite.
Does she?
She does. So Vraska Swarm's Eminence is a two and two hybrid green black mana. For a 5 loyalty Vraska, with whenever a creature you control with Death Touch deals damage to a player or planeswalker, plus a +1/+1 counter on that creature. So she can be 2 green green, right?
Yeah.
Basilisk Color gives Death Touch, right?
Oh god.
And if you're playing Basilisk Color and have green, you probably have something called a Walking Ballista out,
oh,
right?
Oh god.
So you just equip Ballista and you go to town.
Wow, Nixa. You used to not be a filthy combo player.
I mean, it's a 3-part combo that requires you to play one really bad card.
Good thing is that the other two cards are really good.
Yeah, but you're playing them no matter what, no, without regards of the combo. Oh yeah, she also has a -2. You create a 1/1 black assassin creature token with Death Touch, and whenever the creature deals damage to a planeswalker, destroy that planeswalker. Which is kinda cool.
That is cool, but I didn't even know about this whole infinite thing.
What about this ballista thing? Yeah, because, you know, you see Vraska and you think like, it exists, okay.
Yeah, next up, Kiora.
Kiora is actually quite interesting.
Behemoth Beckoner for 2 and a hybrid blue-green. Legendary Kiora with 7 starting loyalty. Whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. That's a typical Kiora thing to do. -1, untap target permanent. Another typical Kiora thing to do. She's superbly good.
She's good because she, well, it says untap target permanent, but most of the time you're going to be untapping lands.
Any specific lands or?
Well, it depends. She can untap Urza lands, and she can untap fours that have like 4 Utopia Sprawls on them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just 3 mana.
Yeah, she is, as we said, I think the name of this episode should be basically. She's a basic effect, but really, really good.
It works. It mm-hmm. just works.
Nothing complicated, nothing too flashy. Just drawing cards and untapping your overpowered things.
Mm-hmm.
Do we even talk about Nahiri?
We have a crazy genocidal Nahiri that does nothing.
Yep, let's carry on.
We have a Samut that does nothing.
At least she gives the best impersonation of fighters of Yavimaya she can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Creatures who control have haste. Yeah. -1 target creature gets +2/+1 and gains haste until the end of turn. Scry 1, 5 loyalty, 4 mana. That's fine.
I mean, I'm sure that there's some infinite combo with Nahiri because you're making your equipment costs 1 less.
Mm-hmm. You can use this really well. Okay, let's read what Nahiri does. We have to know.
Oh, just equip all the kobolds. Oh, but she's white. No.
I mean, there's white decks that play Clamp as well. So Nahiri's Storm of Stone art is bitching, first of all. 2 and a hybrid red-white. 6 loyalty, as long as it is your turn. Creatures you control have first strike, and your equip abilities you activate cost 1 less to activate, so you can freely clamp things. And -X, she deals X damage to target tap creature. She makes Skull Clamp even better card. Wow.
And she makes Swift to Boots a bit more playable.
Yay! So she made 2 cards that are already good a bit better. Congrats, Nahiri.
Yeah, because she can't do anything good on her own.
Yeah. You want to talk about your homeboy?
Oh, man. Okay, so Iron Bully. I'm just kidding. Got you there. So, Karn, the great creator, the father of machines, he is back. Mm. And, oh boy. Oh boy. So, four mana, that by itself is oh boy. Of course, generic, all of them. Legendary Planeswalker Karn, 5 loyalty. Activated abilities of artifacts your opponents control can't be activated.
Is that a null rod on a stick? Just for your opponents?
Opponent null rod? It is.
Oh my god. If it just says this, and there's no Planeswalker abilities, I'm okay with this, I'm playing this.
But there's more. For +1, until your next turn, up to one target non-creature artifact becomes an artifact creature with power and toughness each equal to its converted mana cost.
Wait, are you telling me I can snipe opponent's Moxen?
You definitely can. You can also snipe their lands.
Sweet, I like this.
But wait, there's more.
Wait, if it's just these two abilities, I'm playing this guy definitely. What does the third ability do?
For -2, you may choose an artifact card you own from outside the game or in exile, reveal that card, and add it to your hand. Now, this does pretty much almost nothing in Commander, because there's no outside the game, unless you specifically discussed and agreed on what's outside the game.
Exiled, however,
yeah, but, you know, that's not as relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh... there's this one card.
Yeah?
That got a sudden spike in price. Because of this card.
What's the card?
And it's Mycosynth Lattice.
Hmm. So why did the card spike?
Because Mycosynth Lattice turns everything into an artifact. So for just a measly 10 mana... you lock down your opponent. All of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's about it. That's what he does.
I'm not sure if you're actually gonna be able to hear this in the recording, but we just had like a 5-second silence, just because what else can we say?
So for applications in Modern, let's see, he's good in Mono Greentron. He's especially good in Mono Bluetron, because he can also fetch you the Mindslaver combo without having to play Mindslaver in your main deck.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you a Ballista if you're using it in your sideboard, a Wyrmcoil if you have like a fourth one in your sideboard, which you usually do.
Sometimes you will not allow your ballista to go to graveyard when they pet to exile it. You will just put it to exile.
Yeah.
Because of this thing.
You can get your Oblivion Stone. You can... it also works with Karn Scion of Urza, because you can get the card exile with Karn Scion of Urza with him.
Oh god.
And most importantly, he goes for Mycosynth Lattice and locks down your opponent. And another good use for Karn the Great Creator, he's really good against Tron.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to crack that chromatic star or whatever? You no can do.
Not
you want to crack
that,
the map?
You want to do anything? No, can do.
Mm-hmm. This guy is the real deal. This is the chaser of the set I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, and thankfully, it's just a rare.
Yep.
And you're getting a Planeswalker in every single pack.
Yay. Wanna move up to the Citadel?
Go ahead.
First time I read this, by the way, I read it wrong. I thought it said something else. Bolas of Citadel, legendary artifact for 3, black. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. Okay. It has a tap ability. Sacrifice 10 non-land permanents. Each opponent loses 10 life. But there's also the middle text. You may play the top card of your library. If you cast a spell this way, pay life equal to its common mana cost rather than pay its mana cost. What I read at first was pay the mana cost and life. I was like, what is this bullshit? Then I read it, oh no, what is this bullshit actually?
What is this actual bullshit?
Yeah, because first of all, way to go infinite with this. You have Citadel, you have the Life Cannon, and Senseless Divining Top.
Easy.
You put top on top of library. You play it, you lose one life. But then you cast the spell, you gain a life. And each activation of top after that is just, you know...
additional life.
Yeah, and then you kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And just if you don't even combo with this, guess what? You can value people out with this.
You have free cards. Like, free basic cards.
And it says not even cast.
You may play the top card of your library. So you can play lands.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have the problem that Experimental Frenzy has.
Mm-hmm. This works well with Experimental Frenzy as well.
Yeah, and the tap ability is whatever if you need to kill people.
Actually, if you need to kill people like this?
It might not even be it's whatever, because how many games you have with people with life totals, but everybody's in stalemate and you can do anything.
Yeah, this... Mm-hmm. Fair point.
I'll sack my lands. I don't give a crap. I'll sack them.
I'll sack them good.
You die. This is also a card that I want to get. Next up, the bow.
Mm-hmm. So, Vivian's Arc Bow is one in a green for a legendary artifact. You pay X and tap and discard the card. Look at the top X cards of your library. You may put a creature card with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
This is kinda okay. Kinda good card.
It is. It is. It's a really good mana dump.
It's alright, I guess. Instant speed and all that.
Instant speed. That's kind of the selling point.
Also, to top it all, the art is gorgeous and the foil is gonna be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability is so god. It even fuels graveyard decks.
Mm-hmm.
I might actually play it in Bloodpot because it fits there so much. I'll discard my Elish Norn. Oh, look, I got Karmic Guide. Gee, what happens now?
Or, you know, I pay 7 mana. Well, you know, because I have Tron in play?
Yeah, and things like that. This is a really good card. You can't actually say anything more about it because it's a good card.
It gets you creatures for free, almost.
Basically free. Yes, the title of the episode is gonna be basically.
Speaking of other basic cards...
We were wondering whether Fittle was on Total Lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here he is! Godfarer's Statue. For 6 generic mana, legendary artifact. Spells your opponent's cast cost 2 more to cast. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses 1 life.
Well, remember last time when I talked about Tron and Taxes?
Yep.
Well.
You're thinking harder and harder about it. But it costs 6 mana, so it means you play it around like turn 3.
Yeah, even with Thalia out, it costs
7.
Oh
my god. And even gives you win condition.
This is silly.
It's a good card.
And guess what? Karin can fetch it.
Augustin is gonna play it, I guess.
Yeah, it's still 6 mana in Augustin, but whatever. Suddenly people are paying 3 more mana for their spells.
Yeah, that's kinda brutal. And if you have Tali out, it might be 4. Ever paid 4 mana to cast the Moxen?
Yeah, I remember paying 3 mana because, you know, Trinisphere.
Yes, and it hurt a bit, didn't it?
It hurts. Like, not even a bit. It hurts a lot. It hurts your soul.
Especially if it's a Chromox.
Mm-hmm.
3 mana and I have to stupidly get the card out of my hand. What's the next thing to... Karn's Bastion?
It's a land that... For 4 mana you tap it to proliferate.
This is gonna be used in a Wilderness Reclamation decks in Standard.
To proliferate what?
Teferi.
Okay.
You have trigger... You have a plus 1 of Teferi to, you know, untap a land. 2 lands.
Okay.
And you can abuse triggers.
Mm-hmm.
But it... 4 tap proliferate, that's it. It's simple effect, but as we've seen in proliferate, it's powerful.
Next up, another actually kind of legit man land. I think it's legit.
It's kind of a sad land, but first tell us what it does, I'll tell you why it's a sad land.
So, Mobilized District is a land, it taps for colorless, and for 4 mana, it becomes a 3/3 citizen creature with vigilance until end of turn. It's still a land. This ability costs 1 less to activate for each legendary creature and planeswalker you control.
Yeah, it's a legit man land. It can be like 0 mana. You know why it's sad? Turns out Alesha can go and slaughter the whole fucking district on her own. In one swoop. There's legitimately dozens and dozens of people in this art.
They all die to Alesha. Oh, she God.
They don't even touch her. They don't even... Especially the children. They don't even touch her. That's the sad part. Alesha's like, wow, this is sad.
And when you say, when you put this flavor text with that, sometimes the strongest weapon you can hold in your hand is another hand. Yeah, unless the other person has a sword.
And is really fast.
And is really fast. Oh, man.
There's like 50 of us. We can take her on, turns out.
No.
Morgan Freeman narrates. Turns out, they couldn't.
Okay.
Beacon is even important.
It's not legendary. There.
Into Planar Beacon, land whenever you cast a Planeswalker spell, you gain 1 life, tap, add colorless, 1 and a tap, add 2 mana of different colors, spend this mana only to cast Planeswalker spells.
Well, if this you're playing casting Bolas easier?
Yeah, if you're playing Super Friends, play this. That's it. Nothing we can say. Honestly. It's a Planeswalker land. It's basically a command tower for your planeswalkers.
And there's this emergent zone, it taps for colorless. Pay 1 mana, tap it, and sacrifice it. You may cast spells this turn as though they had flash.
I'm getting this. Pure, simple, you can get it back with Sun Titan and stuff like that. I'm getting it.
Sacrifice emergent zone, cast Sun Titan, get back emergent zone.
Basically. There we go. I like the word basically, apparently. But no, this unlike Velalkan Orrery, is good. Because it does something else besides being 4 mana.
Yeah, gives you mana.
Yeah, taps for mana. And if you need to, you can flash in something. Or a bunch of things, actually.
Right under that, there's this art for the basic mountain.
Yeah.
And these pillars kind of look like rockets.
Oh my god. Bolas has the nuclear program.
Yep, he completed the nuclear program first. Before all other civilizations. Where are you at now, Gandhi?
I mean, that's what happens if you focus on science enough in civilization games, at least the older ones. It's 1700s and you're sending people to space and having nukes. Everybody else has just researched, I don't know, steam engines. Okay, I need to get these mountains, I think. Nuclear launch detected.
Nice.
Oh, this was actually the highlight of the episode.
New clans.
Oh, this is good. Have we actually managed to finish all the spoilers we have?
We're done with the spoilers.
This episode has... Yeah, it's been lasting 2 hours and 14 minutes by now.
Yeah, which is okay, since we're probably not having an episode next week, because I'll be on a trip.
Yeah, we're definitely not.
And we still didn't get Lugin.
Yeah.
And oh boy, do I expect a lot from Lugin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be colorless, so, you know, I'll just
cast him. Of course he is.
Oh, maybe he'll be actual colorless mana.
Oh.
Because we got, like, 4 non-basic lands that produce colorless mana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Interplanar Beacon gives 2 mana of different colors, not types.
Yep.
Oh, well.
I mean, you can still tap it for colorless and get...
Yeah, that. Yeah, definitely.
How do you find sets so far?
Well, I was kind of disappointed by the past 2 sets of Ravnica, but this one is on fire.
Holy crap, this is a good set.
It's like, I know that somebody will say that I called Kaladesh a bad set because it felt too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, this is just... It feels like the right way of powerful, because they're all planeswalkers, so they're slow, and they're interactable.
They're not even planeswalkers. They're enchantments.
Enchantments with slight upsides and, well, killed by combat damage.
Killed by combat, but you can refuel them with proliferate in the set.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I'm liking the set, and as you said, it's strong, but not stupidly strong.
Well, we'll see with the rest of the cards.
So far, it's actually a really good set, and that's coming from me, who's not a Super Friends player.
Well, I'll finally achieve my dream of collecting 100 Tybalts.
That'll cost you what, $10?
Less.
No, I was thinking for foils.
Oh, less.
Before we sign out, by the way, everybody go to Steam and put Fageborn on your wishlist.
Wow. Oh yeah, and he still didn't get his shirt.
I didn't, and I think I'm gonna get it for some time now. But yeah, we're gonna be keep on shilling Fageborn. We should maybe record an ad for it and put it at the beginning of the show.
No.
Why?
Because, you know, no.
I mean...
We're not gonna go in that deep yet.
Yet. But this has been episode 88 of the Elder Dragon Dural podcast. This was your...
Correct.
That is correct. I actually checked it beforehand. So.
Nice.
Doing research? I'm doing it. This was your host, Egon, who apparently does research. And as always with me was my co-host, Nixon, who slogged through me with for 2.5 hours almost.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh. Well, as always, the Emperor protects.
And also for Bethel, apparently.
The blood of my brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tides once and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so a standard face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Declare the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmunds I know. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook, stepped out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves, now we wait on our haunches. Coiled, soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of them becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death, fate unavoidable. Knife meets madness, brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber, turncoat, chain of command failures. Minotaur lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. The tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face a death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Abaddon's throat. Your life's beyond reproach. By the Despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, buried my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting looks led astray. Only blood can amend this.